Which therefore takes us to the next motion being Ascot Park Bowls Club Irrigation Replacement. I don't know if there was a ward councillor, Councillor Valescu, who would like to move something.
I'll move as is, recognising the club's contribution.
Move as is, of course, that it, when you say the club's contribution, this is also towards joint funding and it also is also for landlord approval. Councillor Clancy, did you wish to second? Thank you. Did you wish to speak? No. Is anyone speaking against this motion? Question from Councillor Hull.
It may well be in the report, but where's the water coming from?
My understanding is that water at Ascot Bowls, that is Oakland's water, is it not, Mr. Lyons?
Yeah, I had the impression that it might be.
I've had it confirmed from Mr. Lyons that is Councillor Lyons. I've had it confirmed from Mr. Lyons that is Oakland's water, Councillor Hull.
Bonus.
I'm sorry?
It's a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Was there anyone speaking against that particular motion? No, that being the case, I don't think there's a need for Councillor Valescu to sum up if that's the case. That being the case, I put it to the vote, therefore all those in favour. I count that's unanimous. Thank you, members. Moving along. That takes us to Coastal Climate Change Adaptation Plan Stage 3 Monitoring Plan. So, of course, this one, members, is the endorsement of the coastal monitoring. Now, we've seen the earlier version of this particular report. Endorsement of coastal monitoring and the endorsement of $75,000 over 5 years for... hopefully for co-funding as well. Councillor Telford, did you wish to move? And as written, did you wish to speak to it?
Yes, I wish to speak to this. I think it's appropriate that we continue on with this. We take seriously the whole coastal monitoring. Coastal monitoring is only a very small part of climate change. Rising seas, the whole of the Pacific is impacted, but so is our coast. And so in doing things that are stalwart over the next 5 years, we need to make this effort. So I support this strongly.
Thank you, Councillor Telford. Do I have a seconder, Councillor Crosland?
Thank you. Very briefly, look, I don't always like spending money, but this investment will actually help us understand what's happening on our coastline. And it will also give us suggestions of where we can take preventative measures. And I think the big takeaway message was from the last one that I looked at was we may be able to spend $20,000 in the next couple of years to save us having to spend $500,000 in 20 years. So I think it's a worthwhile investment that could potentially save us a lot of money.
Sounds like a good investment to me. Thank you, Councillor Crosland. Is there anyone speaking against that particular motion? No, that being the case, I don't think there's any... Councillor Pryor? There's a process, mate. There's a process. I'm going through it. I'm getting through it as quick as I can here. That being the case, I will put that to the vote. All those in favour? And that one's unanimous. Thank you, members. Moving along, Code of Practice Procedures at Meetings. Now, before we open this one, I will... There's a few things that have come up. There's been a few things via email that I've seen in the last 24 hours, but before we get into that, the one thing I will suggest, now it's on page 173 and it's actually in underline halfway down page 173. This is one of those tricky items that is not a simple half the chamber shoot for and against. We actually need 2/3 majority of the entire council to get a result here. So what that therefore means is it's 2/3 of 13 people, regardless of who is or is not here tonight. Therefore, when you round the numbers, that means you need 9 members to support a motion, whatever that motion ends up being, not to actually get endorsed tonight. Now, there's 10 of you sitting around the chamber. So in order to get a successful, and I'll take advice from governance, but I think I'm spot on the money here, to get a successful adjustment to code of practice for meetings, you need all but one of you to agree effectively. So therefore, and just give me 1 second here, Councillor Crosland. What I've also seen via email in the last 24 hours, firstly there was the question about whether we're called elected members or council members. As per the Act, I believe it is council members, which is the reason for that particular minor change. The other thing, we did discuss this at a forum quite a while ago, and there was deliberation via email as to whether we had gone for a, when we're looking at the time limits, whether it was a 2 minute to actually move, 2 minutes to move, 2 minutes to speak for and against, 2 minutes to close, or whether it was 3 minutes to move, 2 minutes for and against, 1 minute to close. Now, my recollection of that, and again, I'll take staff advice from this, my recollection from that was there was a bit of conjecture at the table that particular night. There were a few people who were pretty firm one way or another, but there wasn't necessarily an absolute definite, yes, we'll give the advice to staff to word up a motion this particular way or that particular way. The other thing I'm aware of in regard to this is in terms of the timer management, the actual practicality of our good friend Ms. Twaits sitting down the end here. Now, I've sat here a couple of times. Other previous deputies have sat here a couple of times. The person down the end here is moving a million miles an hour during a council meeting. And to have to, and we saw it earlier this evening where she had to adjust it from 5 minutes from the deputation back to 3 minutes for the speaking. Even that, while everything else is going on, to have to do that within each item would be an administrative nightmare. Now, I'm speaking on behalf of Ms. Twaits here. She hasn't actually said that to me. But having seen it happen, I think whilst you can go for a 3-2-1 arrangement, I think that could well be a better way forward. The practicality and the administrative reality of that could be a bit of a nightmare for those up on the bench here. So I'm definitely not trying to steer the debate. You as members can do whatever you wish. Remember that you need to get 9 out of 10 of you to agree. And therefore, I look to Councillor Crosland. Do you wish to move something?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I was going to suggest or move that we suspend standing orders so that through your chairing, we could probably work through the different numbers rather than keep doing motion after motion.
Yes, certainly, Councillor Crosland. Do I have a seconder to suspend? Councillor Valescu, you wish to suspend? That is, you wish to suspend? Yep. That being the case, that's a procedural motion, so I therefore put it to the vote. All those in favour to suspend standing orders, I need hands up for a little bit longer. All those in favour to suspend standing orders, all those against, and that is carried by majority. Standing orders have been suspended. Does someone wish to lead off? Councillor Pryor? Councillor Valescu? Take your pick. Councillor Valescu.
First, so the parts we want to change, there's no discussion, and put that in the foreshadowed motion, and then we can talk through the things that perhaps there's a little bit of difference of opinion.
Yeah, oh, sorry, wrong button. Councillor Valescu, look, I am happy to take this in two parts if you wish. So there are the elements in regard, so there's effectively the two parts that are being suggested by staff. You guys can change that. You can change anything the hell you want in this particular code of practice. But the two parts that we had discussed at a forum, and the two parts that are therefore reflected in the report on page 174 are the element in regard to questions, and that is that and the suggestion was that members may not express an opinion when seeking clarification, but can provide factual contextual background at the discretion of the chair. I'm happy to take that separately as a first motion, and we can test that. And then the second one was in regard to the time limits, which I spoke to a moment ago. So if we're still suspended, standing orders have been suspended, we can knock that around, but I am happy to take that as two separate motions. Anyone else want to shoot? Councillor Pryor.
Down. I mean, it can count up, right? And then it's an incumbent on the member to know how long they're speaking for and just stop when... Well, I know we're going to stop now. Stop when you need to stop. Or the chair, I mean, the chair could keep an eye on that. If that's easier, it doesn't perhaps...
Yeah, Councillor, I agree. Look, I mean, I've got the time on in the corner of my little computer screen here. I know the mayor doesn't use a computer screen; he goes on paper. So I don't know if he
big
would
time.
Have.
Big time.
Well, they've got one of them. Well, and see, this is the thing. And if someone stops speaking halfway through to you, I think the practicality of having it electronically is wise, if it's at all possible. Anyone else wish to have a crack? Councillor Hull?
Question. We're not the only council. I was just wondering what happens in other councils. So there must be some good examples of how this can be managed. But
I know there's others that are pushing through to 2 a.m. at the moment.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I've been there and done that. Don't want to go back there again. But I'm just wondering, in terms of what you said about the numbers that we need tonight, we're too short. Would it be better to defer until we got a better chance of getting close to full crew?
The council is welcome to defer this item if it wishes. You don't need a two-thirds majority to defer. It is just a straight normal shootout to defer it. Hang on a second, Councillor Pryor. look, I mean, you take your risk on any given night. On any given night, there could be two or three members not here. And I've already spoke to Ms. McKenzie about this evening. If there's nine or less than nine people here tonight, I would have deferred it. I wouldn't have even accepted it onto the agenda for this evening. So there's no point in discussing it when your numbers are that thin. But you take the punt any given night. I mean, maybe next fortnight I'll be sitting back there. Maybe I won't. Maybe someone else will be away. You just don't know. But yeah, look, if there is, once we resume standing orders, if there is a move to defer, obviously I'll accept that. Councillor Telfer.
I'd like to raise the issue of the 3-2. I don't think the person that moves the motion has the right or the balance to have an extra minute. I believe that the person speaking against may have as valid arguments and need as much time. So in terms of equity, I actually like the 2-2, if not the 1, but I don't see that somebody moving a motion has the right to take longer than the seconder or the people speaking against.
Thank you, Councillor Telfer. And look, I'm being very careful this evening to not enter debate, which is hard. So just to clarify, though, is what you're suggesting is that you feel it's possibly not democratic to be able to have 3 minutes in favour, then 2 minutes against. Is that correct? Yeah. OK. Thank you. Councillor Croswell?
I'm happy with all the changes, especially the wording for the way the factual and opinion is mentioned. As far as the minutes are concerned, I agree with Councillor Telfer. It should be probably 2 all round, but 1 for the closing. I think closing could be done in a minute because it's supposed to be just in response to anything raised. And I will preface that with that the Mayor, for any particular major issue, can actually extend those times at his discretion. So I think Councillor Telfer's on the money there, that 2-2-2 and just 1 to close, and it would make it easier for the staff as well.
Well, if any member can seek leave of the chair to speak for 20 minutes if they want to. Now, I think the reality of our Mayor accepting that is pretty slim, but you know, you've got the option to at least ask for it. Look, before we resume standing orders, was there any other discussion, any other points that anyone wishes to make? Councillor Hull and then Councillor Croswell. Pryor.
In terms of the Act, are there any requirements on us in terms of the closing speaker and or anything else we should know about in terms of conducting our business in the spirit and the expectations of the Act?
Thank you, Councillor Hull. We'll just take them one at a time. Look, I'll throw to Ms. McKenzie on that, but look, my understanding of the Act is that we're not even legally required to actually have this kind of code of practice for meetings. We can just shoot from the hip every single night and not have this kind of code of practice, is my understanding. Is that correct?
Not quite.
Close.
We're required to have a code of practice. The code of practice has to be aligned to the regulations. There are certain parts that we have the ability to amend and there are certain parts that we don't. Obviously, the speaking time and how long people can speak for is one of the sections that we are able to amend, but we still have to make sure that we have the correct procedure in that we've got a mover and a seconder. Members have the ability to debate an item and then the mover can close.
Thank you, Ms. McKenzie. And Councillor Hull, you had a second follow-up question?
In terms of deputations, I read in the report that the names of the deputation, deputies, and also the subject matter is not to be recorded in the minutes or something to that effect. Can I just ask
you to point to the page that you're referencing there?
Well, it's under deputations, if somebody can find that. But
page 193.
Through the chair, if that's okay.
Of course.
Just for clarity, I think the point of that is that the actual deputation, like the whole details of the deputation, are not included in the minutes. All that's recorded is the name of the deputation and essentially the topic they're talking on, not the deputation itself.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So the actual very reason why they actually come to speak to us will be recorded.
Yes, it's listed generally in the heading of the item, and we our general practice is just to include the sentence that, you know, Mr. Smith gave a deputation on his local reserve, full stop. We don't include what his arguments were for or against or anything like that.
Okay. Just a general comment, if I could.
Sure.
In terms of the amount of time we've got to speak, now, I think this council and the previous one worked quite well in this regards in terms of time management. We all could work individually on this and be concise, I understand that. But when I first started on this council, we were allowed 5 minutes. Now, sure, that's what we had. And it's now getting down to two. So for me, over a long period of time, I've seen big change. I'm not saying that it's generally bad, but the general intention of allowing an elected member to be able to speak and explain themselves in terms of their proposals or objections to motions is really critically important for our community. And I think that we just need to be aware of that and not sort of treat it with any triviality. I don't think that we should be long-winded and filibustering about things. And look, I have to work at this myself, I must admit. Sometimes we all get passionate about what we're proposing or objecting to, but I just think that we approach this on a general principle that there is an expectation that we can actually explain ourselves, be heard, and represent our communities.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. I think I actually recall getting on my high horse against cutting it down from 5 minutes back at the time as well, back 8 years ago, which seems crazy now. I have Councillor Pryor on my list and then Councillor Gard. Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, just a quick one about procedure. And if this goes down tonight, what happens?
Back later.
Yeah. So if it doesn't get up, we just keep bringing it back until it gets through. So last time, just from memory, I think we actually brought it back about four times because we couldn't get the numbers on the floor and there was an agreement.
We have to look at this every 12 months regardless?
And that's the other point to make, that if members want to trial something, you've always got the ability to change it back. It does have to come to council every 12 months, so you can trial something and see how it goes, and if it's not working, you can change it back to how it was before.
So I've got Councillor Gard and then Councillor Valescu, then Councillor Crosland, and then I think after that we'll try and resume standing orders. Councillor Gard?
Yes, mine's just a brief one too, Deputy Mayor. The in his absence, Councillor Schilling had asked the question about why the change from the words elected member to council member I must admit that crossed my mind too when I read it through. I thought, well,
I covered that a moment ago, Councillor
Gutt. I'm sorry?
I covered that a moment ago.
Was I asleep?
I would never suggest such a thing, Councillor Gard, but the reason is basically just because of reflecting what it says in the Act. Councillor Valescu?
Yeah, my question is on so-called trials. So if 9 people push forward to have a change and then 2 people later on from that 9 change their mind, we're stuck with the change because you need to have 9 people to create the change. So
bingo.
It's a very convenient way to bring in a change under the guise of a trial. So just think about that as well. Like, I think the decisions we make are pretty much going to stick with us. It's going to be very hard to change them.
Thank you, Councillor Valescu. Councillor Crosland, and then we'll resume standing orders.
Final one. My particular bugbear is petitions, especially when they're not correctly filled in. They don't have surnames, they don't have addresses.
I know you like correctly filled in paperwork, Councillor Crosland.
And it just really annoys me when it could be like 10 people just making up names on there. There's no addresses or anything. Can we do something about that and just say all the if they're not correctly filled in, we either redact all the incorrect entries and they don't count, or just send them back. So it's just not worth the paper they're printed on. Yet what you're actually proposing is a lot of work for staff for what may be a petition by people who don't even live in the city of Marion, because we don't actually know.
Councillor Crosland, what we'll do in a moment is we'll resume standing orders. Look, there could be a motion to defer, and if that is the case, then, and if it's successful, so be it. If there is not, I'll then be looking to hopefully do these items separately. If you wanted to test something, you really do need to write it down in terms of to give it to government staff. If you wish to test something, you're more than welcome to do so. Keep in mind, of course, you need a lot of your colleagues to agree.
So the way it is, I'll just refresh with the code of practice that is attached. Where the text is not bold, it's just plain text, that's actually an extract of the regulations. Where it's bold is where the City of Marion has changed it. Under the regulations, a petition must include the name and address who signed or endorsed the petition, so therefore we can just refuse them if they don't actually include those details.
I think we'd therefore be ultra vires if we went down that path then, Councillor Crosland. Okay, so with that, I think it's time. Can I resume? Okay, Councillor Hull, quickly.
Before... And I actually learnt about this at another council, that I feel that our deputations are actually not being given appropriate guidance. Other councils have an agreement that deputations sign, that they actually do acknowledge that they actually are going to address a public meeting, and there's some inherent risks with that. In other words, you can't say, well, Councillor Crosland has got a tie that belonged to a felon or something to that effect, you know. Yeah, in other words... Well, that, I think we're at the mild end of what can be said, OK? We've got people coming along unwittingly and emotionally involved in what they're talking about could actually say something that could land them in a lot of trouble. I think they need to have heads up and other councils get them to sign an agreement that they do understand that they are addressing a public meeting and that they need to be aware that they are exposing themselves to the laws of defamation in particular. And I think that that's something that's missing with this council because it sets these people up to succeed rather than fail if they actually do know what the boundaries are.
Councillor Hull, the advice I've just been given is that that is a process that we could do if we wish to without including it in the code of practice.
Can that be picked up as a peripheral?
Yep.
Thank you.
Noted. Okay, thank you. At this point, I think it's time to resume standing orders. I'll ask if there is a... I'm not trying to direct council, but if there is a motion to defer, this is the time to stick your hand up. If not, then we'll proceed one by one through these various matters. Okay, let's push ahead then. Sorry, I'm just scrolling back here. So what we have at the moment is that council adopts the amended code of practice procedures at council meetings provided at appendix 2 to this report. or adopts the amended code of practice, provided the report subject to the inclusion of the following changes. Is there a way that we can pull out that wording just in relation to the first item to do with the questions? So can we therefore say that that council adopts the amended code of conduct procedures at council meetings in relation to questions part four, and then include the text of that question? I want to pull on that separately. If there is a motion from the floor to actually do that, I mean, we can bolt them, leave them together as they are at the moment, or we can have it. Yeah, we can test what we've got in terms of a motion, or we can try and figure out some other wording to separate them. Councillor Vlasky.
The low-hanging fruit that we just change council member to elected member to council member as the first part of it in all the references.
This is not playground and play space, is it?
Because at least we get that part done, and then if we don't agree on the others, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Give us a moment as we place it, throw some wording up here. Thank you. Thank you to governance staff in relation to that. So, look, we'll take this in a couple of parts now. So we're inching towards a motion that someone could potentially second at this point, so to move at this point. So what we have here, so there, since it is a shootout, we need 9 votes out of 10 to be able to get anything endorsed in relation to this. We will take these items separately if there are motions to do so. So Councillor Vlasky a moment ago mentioned that we try first for the adjustment of the term elected member to council member. So Councillor Vlasky, were you happy to move that? Is there a seconder? Councillor Telfer? Anyone wishing to speak for or against at this point? No. In that case, I'll take it straight to the vote. So all those in favour? Hey, we got it. I declare that unanimous. Thank you. So we've managed to get one through tonight. So we'll try, if there is a mover to do so, perhaps we should try the part in relation to questions next. Do I have a mover? We'll have to work on the exact language, but do we have a mover? Councillor Pryor, thank you. So, Jane, just give us a moment. Up in second, and Councillor. Yep, okay. As it will be printed in a moment. If you can just, again, bear with us for just a moment as we get that wording up. Order in the gallery, thank you. You can take a moment to talk amongst yourselves if you want. I won't call you to order.
Oh, you're saying that it reverts back after 6 months instead of having to get 9 people to vote to change it?
The code, Councillor Hull, we can bring it back for a review, but the code is the code is the code. Like, we're bringing back the entire code to review it in 6 months' time, which we have to review in 12 months' time anyway. So I think, we could do that, but I think it possibly complicates matters slightly, and it almost feels a little bit redundant to do so. We could do, but we have to do it in 12 months anyway. So we have now, in relation to the questions item, and sorry, we are labouring through this a little bit, in relation to the questions item being that members may not express an opinion when seeking clarification but can provide factual contextual background at the discretion of the chair, we have that moved. Pryor, seconded Crosland. Councillor Pryor, did you wish to actually speak to that?
No, thank you.
No? Okay. Councillor Crosland? No? Anyone speaking against that? No? That being the case, again, I put it to the vote. Now I need 9 out of 10 to be able to get this endorsed. All those in favour? And I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All those against? Councillor Hull, I count 1. I therefore declare that carried by majority, a very, very slim majority. Okay, so we go for, if there is an appetite to go for round 3, is there someone wanting to have a look at the actual speaking times this evening? Councillor Crosland. What would you actually like to move in regard? First of all, Jamie will word up exactly the same, but what was it that you were wishing to move? So that's 2 minutes. 2 minutes to move, 2 minutes to speak for and against, 1 minute to close. Okay, thank you. Again, just give us a moment. And Councillor Hutchinson, were you happy to... Yep, happy to second that. Give us a moment once again as we thrash that one out up here. Again, feel free to talk amongst yourselves.
Only for a minute.
I don't have a gavel. I need a gavel, damn it. Don't go too far, Councillor Valescu. We might need you in a minute. Okay, thank you, Ms. Twaits. Now, Councillor Crosland as mover and Councillor Hutchinson as seconder. Can you just check what's on the screen? Make sure you're happy with that. Thank you. Therefore, would either of you like to speak to that? No? Okay. That being the case, I call for anyone speaking against this motion. Councillor Hull.
For a minute. Mr. Deputy Mayor, it's just consistent with what I said before, that, you know, how far do we go? I do believe that if you've taken the initiative to move a motion, then you are entitled to 3 minutes. It's a reasonable amount of time. I've seen so many councillors almost serve an entire term and not move a motion at all. But, you know, in terms of equity, they seem to think that they should have equal time to object, yet they're not prepared to move a motion at all in 4 years. And there's one, that actually notable one, move maybe one motion in 4 years, and she pimps that from somebody else anyway. So I think I've made my point with that, you know, I think there should be a quota for elected members to move within 4 years, a certain number of motions to indicate that they're actually applied and on the job. And you should be able to have 3 minutes. As for the two, I don't have any problems with 2 minutes. As for the one, I could probably live with that, but not to reduce the 3 minutes of delivery, because sometimes the matters you want to introduce are got technical challenges to explain. There might be a whole lot of history that the elected member might want to avail council about, because so many motions can be moved in terms of what I perceive as the centre for lessons learned. In other words, where I've seen the council go before and falter, I think it's important that if you have been in an organisation for a long period of time, that you actually share that history and that awareness and that knowledge with your board. And you really need that 3 minutes. So, without taking 3 minutes, that's my position.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Just to clarify, I will acknowledge, of course, that you still, and I think I have done this, possibly in regards to Edwardstown Oval, when we're getting into some technical detail, you do still have leave. You can still request leave of the presiding member to speak for longer if you feel it's necessary, if there are technical details in regards to something that you need to speak to under the motion as it's as it stands right now. Is there anyone speaking in favour of the motion? Nope. That being the case, I therefore throw to Councillor Crosland to sum up. Happy? Okay, let's move along. Once again, we're looking for 9 out of 10 hands, so I therefore put it to the vote. All those in favour? And I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All those against? And I count 1, 2, I therefore declare the motion lost. Thank you, members. Gave it a shot, and we move on. Councillor Valescu?
Yeah, I'll move 2-2-2.
Okay. Give another crack. Is there a seconder for 2-2-2? Councillor Telford? Sorry, Councillor Valescu, did you wish to speak to that?
Briefly? Look, I'd like more time, and I'd like more guidance.
Okay.
But, yeah, I guess if people are comfortable with that, I'd like to hear dissenting views as to why not.
Thank you, Councillor Valescu. Councillor Telford, did you wish to speak? No, was there anyone speaking against that, the 2-2-2? Councillor Hull, you get 3 minutes to speak against 222.
This doesn't help. it doesn't help. And look, if we do change this, somebody whispered in my ear that if we want to change it back, then we've got to get 9 votes to change it back. So, you know, there's a bit of irony in this. So, but what I could have actually, what I could have warmed to, oddly enough, as I alluded in the last time I spoke, I could actually warm to 3-2-1. But that wasn't what was proposed. So here I am again.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Was there anyone else speaking in favour? No. Therefore, Councillor Valescu, did you wish to sum up?
It's not a position that I'm that comfortable with, but I think that if this vote was held on another night, it would get up, so I don't want to waste everybody's time. I think there is support for 222 as a 9 majority. So, I guess we have to live with it as much as I don't want to.
Thank you, Councillor Valescu. Look, win, lose or draw, I think we'll move on after this one, so we'll see how we go. Therefore, I put it to the vote. All those in favour, I'm looking for 9 hands, and I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All those against, Councillor Hull, I count 1. I therefore declare the motion carried. We're now on a 2-2-2 regime, I think, from right away, are we not?
Yep.
From immediately. There we go. And so thank you, members. That's quite an interesting moment in council to get to that point. So congratulations on that, and we'll come back in 12 months' time and give another crack, shall we? And in doing so, we now move on to council member policies, all the thrilling stuff. Members, we have, look, similar to the previous ones, we have quite a few small rats and mice type changes. I don't like using that term, but fairly minor changes to various council member related policies. Do I have a mover for those? Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak? No. Councillor Valescu, did you wish
move
to speak?
Move those all en bloc.
I think they're all part of one motion, Councillor. Thank you. That being the case, was there anyone speaking against? No.
Can I just make one?
Yep.
Sorry, members, I just wanted to highlight quickly that this also does enact the public consultation that we will undertake for the Access to Meetings and Documents Code of Practice as well. So we'll kick that off shortly. And that one will have to come back after the conclusion of the consultation.
Thank you, Ms. McKenzie. I therefore put that to the vote. All those in favour? I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All those against, I count 1. I declare that carried by majority. Thank you. Moving along, we have LGA AGM, which is coming up in the not too distant future. Members, within this, you'll note that there is point 2 is requesting a voting delegate and proxy delegate. Usual convention here is that it's the mayor and deputy. Look, I'm happy to go along as proxy if the mayor is not able to. I haven't had advice from the mayor that he is not able to, so I think I'm happy to follow usual convention there if someone is happy to move that way. We also have a potential notice of motion in point 3 that we're looking to move there as well. Do I have a mover for that one? Councillor Valescu, was that with the mayor and deputy mayor as the... is the member and proxy? Yep, thank you. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Masika. No one speaking against? No. Good, I put that to the vote. All those in favour? I carry that unanimously. Thank you. Now, members, we move to confidential items, of which there is only one. I'm looking for a confidential motion there, which is contained on page 236. Councillor Valescu, wish to move into confidence. Councillor Pryor, all those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you very much, members. Can you please close the doors? And we have everyone present who is allowed to be present. Thank you. So, just give me a moment. Okay, members, look, as you can see from this, the doors are closed. As you can see from this report, it's... allow our huge gallery to return. Members, up next we have our... corporate reports for noting, of which there is only one, our work health and safety performance report. Obviously and frustratingly, we've had a couple of lost time injuries in the last 2 months, which has unfortunately almost doubled our total for the rest of the financial year, which is sad, although very well explained within the report. Members, do I have a mover for that particular motion? Councillor Hutchinson, did you wish to speak? No. Councillor Crosland, did you wish to speak? Question?
Just a question for Mr. Lyons, if I may, through the chair. We seem to get a lot of people who fall up or down stairs. Is there a reason? Is our stairs defective? Or it seems to be in many of our reports that people can't use stairs.
Through the chair, we have had some falling down, not up, but we have expressed concern about that internally. It's a very, very fair question. We had one earlier in the year and one later in the year. The one going down the stairs, the one earlier in the year did go down, sadly, down some marked stairs and failed to use the 3 points of contact, and that person has been reminded about that. And the one later in the year was following processes but rushing, sadly, and we have taken a lot of care to do some spot checks on those stairs and just make sure they're... I've actually got a lot of confidence that they're better being used, but it's fair to say that the ELT have spent some time concerned about that. I should add, Councillor Hull, that no, the stairs aren't defective. Everything is compliant, which I think was part of your question, but it's use of the stairs.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. And look, I personally actually fell down an entire flight of stairs on Sunday and ended up with a couple of bruises, but nothing more, thankfully. That's really ironic.
This is not people trying to climb the corporate ladder, is it?
Look, was it... Sorry, Councillor Telford, do you have a question?
Is there something about the admin stairs here? Because I actually find them a little bit more precarious than normal.
Through you, Chair. I don't think they're more precarious, but there are some issues with the back stairs. There was a problem there with... which you probably don't ever go up and down, but had a flashing light in there, and that made everybody feel a bit queasy, but I'm not sure if our stairs are any different. But yeah, it is a worry that people fall down.
Thank you, Mr. Scull. Look, let's move swiftly on. I therefore put this one to the vote. All those in favour, and I count there. That's unanimous. Thank you, members. Moving on forward. This evening we have no workshop items. We do, however, have two motions with notice. Councillor Hull, public art and on utility boxes.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. This is calling for a report. And staff have already done, going by what I see in front of me in this report, already done some legwork on this. I think Marge Edgecombe had already started looking at this. And if we can get if this motion was successful and get a better report, a more fulfilling report, that would be great. I'm a bit concerned that the electricity people have indicated that they've got an anti-graffiti coating on their boxes already. Well, I just wonder why they're coated in graffiti. Maybe we can look at it. Better dialogue with them as well about how we can manage that. But look, in short, we've got a lot of these bobbing up all around the city. There's clusters of them around the Oaklands Crossing now. As we underground power lines, we'll have more and more of them appearing. And other councils have taken the initiative to look at this. The City of Adelaide, City of Holfast Bay in particular, have already done some good work in this area. And I just think it's now time for us to actually look at... dealing with these. The fact of the matter is that whether they've got graffiti on them or not, they're eyesores, that they're actually in your face. They're obtrusive street installations now, and if we can disguise them and make them more pleasing to the eye, that will be a good outcome. Around the State Aquatic Centre there's a number, and all they do become is a canvas for graffiti merchants, and that just aggravates the fact that they are an eyesore. So I hope I get a seconder in support for this.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. You've already got one, Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, happy to second this one. Like anything's better than the way they look at the moment. I think it's just as a real opportunity to get some art, impromptu art around the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Pryor. Anyone speaking against? Question, Councillor Crosland?
Not against, just to say that Councillor Hall is correct, because even the graffiti on there puts a fear of crime and also can encourage other crimes. One of my suggestions would be that if they are electricity boxes that we're not allowed to touch, then surely we could look at the option of maybe soft plantings, which reduces the visuality of them, also reduces the graffiti areas. So that might be an alternative option if the electricity people are pretty much not playing ball. Look at the possibility of some shrubs, not right in front of it, but around the other sides of it.
Thank you for neither speaking in favour or against, Councillor Crossan. Was anyone actually speaking against?
2 minutes.
Question or speaking against, Councillor?
Can we increase, and really for the mover and seconder, can we look to increase this broadly, that we look at not just public utility boxes, but look at stobie poles and things like that, and also consider that the public art might be adhered to these surfaces as opposed to painted directly on those. Is that something, or is that going to have to be an amendment?
We can ask the mover and seconder whether they want to include stobie poles in that with the leave of the meeting.
Mr Deputy Mayor, I'm certainly happy with that, and Councillor Lescu probably alludes to wraps. There's actually wraps that you can apply that are not paintings or anything. They're simply wrap around and stick on. So
that's a yes?
It's a yes.
Thank you. Councillor Pryor? Yeah, I therefore seek leave of the meeting to vary that motion very marginally to include stobie poles. If there's no one sticking their hands up...
They colloquially all refer to as street furniture, and that includes absolutely anything that we want to try and hide.
Councillor Hull and Pryor? Sorry, well, I'm going off reservation here a little bit.
Well, I'm happy with that. As long as it's not diluted to the point where the boxes are overlooked, because that was the main focus of my concern.
If you wish to keep it specific on boxes and stobie poles, you can. It's your you've got the call,
well,
Councillor.
I'm just wondering what else there might be apart from those two items.
If you wish to leave it at that, we can leave it at that. Just a second, Councillor Valescu. Are you happy to just leave it as what you've got currently plus stobie poles?
Yeah, look, we can broaden, if this is successful, we can broaden it to other things as we identify them. So.
Sure. And so, therefore, just a moment, I can see hands, that's fine. I've noted it. I therefore seek leave of the meeting to vary that motion very slightly with the permission of the mover and seconder. No one's hands are going up. I therefore, do I have leave to be able to seek to vary that motion? We do need to move on, folks. Come on. Councillor Hull and Pryor, did you wish to do that?
Deputy Mayor, I don't think there's street furniture. They're public utilities.
Okay.
You know, street furniture are the bus shelters and
therefore,
benches.
Thank you. I therefore seek leave of the meeting to vary the motion to include stobie poles. Is leave granted? Yes. Thank you. We therefore move on. Now, we've had a mover and a seconder. Was anyone speaking against this motion? No. That being the case, I don't think there's a need to sum up, Councillor Hull. I therefore put it to the vote. All those in favour? And I declare that carried by unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Valescu, at the last moment there. Thank you. We move on. Councillor Hull, you had another motion with notice in relation to rail tram privatisation. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr Deputy Mayor. This one is one that is an advocacy motion, unashamedly. Mr Deputy Mayor, public transport is a very organic and important issue for our citizens. We should be in the business of encouraging public transport. we should be noting the folly of the past in terms of privatisation of our electricity, for example, is a great example of why we shouldn't do it. The privatisation of our bus services, where our people, in Marion in particular, found they had to catch two or three buses after that to get to the destination, where before that there may have only been one. Because back then, I think there was three different contracts across the city. That's how unworldly privatisation can get. At least now with the bus service, I think it might be down to one, maybe two contracts. So, and the important thing for the city of Marion is that the tram line runs to on our northern border, and a lot of our citizens do use the tram, and also we have two railway lines going through our city. So it is critically important. And if we are in the business of actually trying to have some government ownership of efficiencies and high-tech approaches to public transport, it needs to be in the hands of the government, not in the hands of a company that's only interest is in making money. That is the critical part of this. Those companies that were bidding for this won't be a charity. They will be in the game. They could be from overseas or anywhere. They'll be in the game to make a quid. And why can't the state government do it and do it even better and have better control over not only the infrastructure? I understand it's only the services that they're actually privatising here, but the reality is that is really an important part of what is on offer to our people. Timetables, routes, the whole lot. Is really important, and I think that this is just us advocating on behalf of our community, because something tells me that the broader community would be supporting this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Do I have a seconder for that one? Councillor Gard, do you wish to speak?
Yes, I do. I guess my age is one of the telling reasons here. My life in Adelaide is such that I can't remember a privatisation that was better for the people of our utilities particularly, but also I think there's a track record in public transport. Certainly there might be more flexibility with certain aspects of public transport. Some of the bus routes I recall have been adjusted more quickly privately, but you know, at a time when I paid $1 for each of five stops on the train the other day, it's bad enough under the public system, but I would hate to think what would happen under a private system. And as to whether it is our business or not, well, it's very much our business, because transport is a very big part of our strategic plank on this council, and we are really intent on getting people to use public transport as part of those strategies. So I can't commend the motion enough. I really do smell a big rat, I think I would compare the pullback by the Transport Department in the same way that I look at the dreadful roads conditions at the moment in Adelaide. There's cut, cut, cut wherever you look, and an air of desperation, which I find to be very upsetting as both a taxpayer and a payer of motor registration fees, etc.
Thank you, Councillor Gard. Was there anyone speaking against that motion? Councillor Crosland.
Thank you, through the Chair. Yeah, I'm speaking against it. Number one, I can't see that the government is doing this to make a worse service or to be a more expensive service. I've lived through public transport privatisations in the UK, and I can tell you that prior to the privatisation, the rail system was a complete joke. It's now pretty good, much better than it was, so it was a benefit to residents, to businesses, and to the community at large. I haven't seen this is promoting higher charges and worse services, but I'll stand corrected if someone's actually got some facts. On the other side of the coin, I can see how this has become a very expensive service under the government. through either lack of wage control or some other reason. And I probably would look close to home, and maybe the government could start looking at opening cafes. But from our experience, I wouldn't recommend it, because I don't think it would be cheaper or better.
Thank you, Councillor Crosland. Anyone speaking for? I saw Councillor Masika first.
Thanks, Deputy Chair. I would like to support this motion for two reasons. Reason number one, that I do understand that it's not the role of the council to tell the government how to run the transport services, but it's a role, Marion Council is a role to advocate on behalf of the residents. And we understand the government wants to increase the efficiency of the public transport, but the efficiency can come at a higher cost to the public, including our residents. And being operated by private operators, the public may face higher fares, which will be very negative to our residents. And the second one is this service will be run by private operators. And the private operators, how they make decisions about the routes, it's not for the best interest of the public. It's their decisions are based on the profit. And by doing that, we'll see that in order to maximize the profit, there can be hike of the fares and also reduction of employment or reduction of the routes. So that's why I'm saying, as a council, we can advocate for our resident.
Thank you, Councillor Masika. Anyone else speaking against that one? That being the case, Councillor Hull, would you like to close?
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to point out that what the government is proposing is not what many signed up to. In other words, when they voted for the Marshall, it was the Olson Liberal government back in the day when they privatised electricity, they didn't get what they signed up for either, which was lower energy prices. Quite the opposite happened. And with the Marshall government, they're not getting what they signed up to because he promised there'd be no privatisation. Now, as for experiences of public transport and privatisation in the United Kingdom, Stephen Kinnoll had to backtrack very quickly by pointing, because he used London as an example, a prime example that was up on a pedestal. Look what London's done. What he didn't know was that 3 years ago, London went back. London went back from privatisation to government ownership. And, that is a really good example of the centre for lessons learned. And I don't think I need to say much more, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Thank you for summing up there. I therefore put this one to the vote. All those in favour, and I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All those against, and I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which ties the vote. That therefore means that for, I think, possibly the first time ever, I get a casting vote. Wasn't expecting this. Members, I accept and I understand exactly where the mover and seconder were coming from in regard to this, and I think it's a strong position to be putting. I do reflect on the fact that we don't necessarily like it when other tiers of government tell us what to do and put their positions onto us. I therefore will be voting against the motion and will declare the motion lost. And a division has been called by Councillor Hull. I therefore ask all those who are in favour of the motion to please stand. And I count Councillor Masika, Councillor Valescu, Councillor Hull, Councillor Telfer and Councillor Gard. Those against were Councillor Clancy, Councillor Pryor, Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Duncan, Councillor Crosland, and I cast my vote in the negative against that. Thank you, members. You may resume your seats. Just one moment. Questions with notice, we have none. Motions without notice, I believe we will have one quick one from Councillor Crosland.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thank you for indulging me. I'm not sure whether it needs to be a motion we notice or just something which I'd like acknowledged in the minutes of today's meeting.
Very short motion with notice is fine.
This is the last meeting for General Manager Abby Dixon. I've already thanked her personally, but I'd like on behalf of all council members to acknowledge your fantastic contribution across Marion Council for all your mentoring and assistance you've done. Especially, I've had a lot of personal experience with yourself over the last 5 years. So just I'd like that acknowledged through both the CEO and by council in this meeting. Thank you very much. Hasn't been seconded yet.
Thank you, Councillor Croswell. Do I have a seconder there? Councillor Gard, thank you. All those in favour? Thank you, members. I carry that unanimously. Questions without notice? I'm hoping there's none. One from Councillor Hull.
Just a quick one. The Stur Police Station, is there an update on that? And is administration aware?
Are you referring to opening times?
No. I'm talking about the fact that nobody can get in there at all at the moment.
Yeah, Councillor. Yeah, thank you, Councillor. Yeah. I'll close the meeting after this. Thank you, Councillor. Sorry, Councillor Hull, continue.
Given that the Council received a letter from the Minister of the day when this building was first proposed, reassuring Council that it would be built to the strictest of earthquake guidelines, why is it falling down now?
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Have we had any response to administration?
Yep. Through the Chair, so our building services team have been in contact with the agency. They're investigating the causes for the closure of the Sturt police station. At this point, we haven't received any detailed information, but we will provide that to members once we receive it. So we are in contact.
Another question in regards to buildings. There's been some sensational reports coming out of Melbourne about the cladding, the fire cladding. Is Council going to get advised about the identified buildings in Marion and what strategies are going to be put in place? It can be taken on notice, if you like.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good one for us to take on notice. Thank you, Councillor Hull. We have any other business, so I therefore close the meeting at 8:56. Thank you, members.